Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Thousand lakes.
Oh. Hello and welcome to another episode of a team profile and projection here on Talking Baseball, where we have been bringing you an episode a day, every day until opening day. We're talking about your Twinkies, Minnesota Twins, ranked 12th in the power chart rankings. From you, the fan. Jake, you going to crush Trev's hopes and dreams?
No, I'm leaning back and learning today.
Wow. Professor Trev, you excited to tell us about these Twins?
Yeah, I wish you guys would just leave and let me run this whole episode.
Jake, who'd they add? Who'd they lose?
The Axeman. Defensive first base stud last year, Carlos Santana, comes over. Little veteran leadership. Get some switch hit at bats. Some bullpen reinforcements. Justin Topa via trade. Steven Okert via trade. Josh Stalmout and Jay Jackson. So already kind of a strength. They give themselves some options there. Along with Disco. Anthony DeSclafani should be twirling it on the back end of that rotation. They did lose some tings. How about second in the Cy Young, Sonny Gray? He gone. Kenta Maeda, he's out of town. Emilio in his pagan ways. Joey Gallo, how about that? Floro, Molly, Jorge Polanco, Nick Gordon, Miguel Sano's time as a Twin is Sova. So a lot of parts out. But Trev, if I remember correctly, just like 2014, these Twins can bang.
Just like 2014, my guy. I do really like this lineup a lot. I think there's a lot of depth in it. There's a lot of balance in it. I don't know if this is exactly how it's going to be constructed throughout the year, but Eddie Julian, who they believe in quite a bit, we'll talk about him later, he'll be somewhere near the top of the lineup. Most likely starting the year at second base. Royce Lewis, who, you know, if you follow baseball at all, he's one of the more exciting young players in the game right now. They believe in him a ton as well. He'll be at third base. Byron Buxton's back out in center field, hopefully for the majority of the year. Then you got Max Kepler somewhere out there in the middle of the lineup. He'll be in right field. Carlos Correa at shortstop. They signed Carlos Santana to take over first base. A little bit of DH for them there. He's actually a really good defensive first baseman. Did you guys know that? I didn't actually know that until I saw that. And then in the outfield, Matt Wallner will probably get the left field nod there. Him and Alex Kirilloff might switch between there and DH, and then our catcher. It went from Christian Vasquez signing a big deal to be the everyday catcher there to Ryan Jeffers taking over last year. Vasquez didn't even play in a playoff game because Jeffers' offensive prowess showed up, man. This guy's a horse. So the lineup is good. I mean, there's not a lot of weak spots, 1 through 9 there. There's some young guys, so I can understand why people might not know that fully, but I do like that lineup, 1 through 9. On the bench, Willie Castro, Swiss Army knife, guy can play anywhere, steal some bags. Kyle Farmer, my best friend, is in the mix. And then the next couple spots are interesting. Christian Vasquez is going to be there as the backup catcher. And then it's what do they do with that last roster spot? Jose Miranda's there. They traded Nick Gordon, who might have had a shot. They got some young guys coming. Trevor Larnach is a guy that could do it. I think they still might sign a Michael A. Taylor. We'll get into that in a bit. But that is the lineup. James, tell us about the rotation and the bullpen.
The rotation is interesting. I have questions for the rotation for you because, yes, like Jake said, they did lose Sonny and Kenta. Pablo Lopez, though, I like him a whole bunch. He's there. Joe Ryan, hot boy. He's there. Bailey Ober, he had a good season last year. Chris Paddock in the rotation. Question mark for Trev after we talk about it. And then Disco comes over. Louis Varland, Simeon Woods Richardson, name to watch. And then the bullpen, we got Duran, Griffin Jacks, Brock Stewart, Jay Jackson. Good names in the Twins bullpen. Everyone knows that with Griffin and Brock and Jay Jackson. Caleb Thielbar, okay name. Justin Topa, Steven Okert. Say it right?
Yes.
Stelmont, cool. So that's all of the guys in the pitching. They lost Sonny Gray and Kenta Maeda.
Yes.
It's two big losses. Sonny got Cy Young votes. Kenta had a good season. He had one bad start where he went three innings pitch, 10 earned runs. That ruins all his numbers. But in all the other starts, he had a 3-4 ERA and was like a big contributor to the rotation. And they're gone.
I think if you could point to one area for the Twins where there are question marks, it is the rotation. I actually fully expected them to make a move and kind of bring people in. They brought in Descofani, you know, to be a back-end rotation, swingman type guy, and that's really all they've done in that regard. But some of the other guys, I mean, you talk about Pablo Lopez. He's going to be, you know, a top Cy Young candidate. A lot of people in the industry really, really like this guy. I do too. He's a great leader for the pitching staff. And just, you know, his numbers speak for himself. He's a great top of the rotation guy to have. Then behind them, look, it's a lot of guys that you probably, if you're not a Twins fan, you're not that familiar with them. Joe Ryan, because I call him hot, maybe if you watch the show. But on a national level, most of these guys aren't going to be known, but they do put up good numbers. And I think there's a lot of talent there. Joe Ryan has a, you know, swing and miss fastball at the top of the zone. We've had lots of conversations about him and kind of him finding out what kind of pitcher he was and can be. I think he's a solid middle of the rotation type guy. Bailey Ober, I'm very high on. I call him the nightmare. Super tall, has that life at the end of his fastball. I think he's got another level that he'll get to this year. He wasn't even supposed to be in the starting rotation last year. They started the year in AAA and then came up, and he had some really, really quality outings. A very steady performer. He's going to give you six innings pitched, like two earned runs. Like quality start king, Bailey Ober is what we called him last year. And then the back of the rotation after that, I want to put Louis Varland in the rotation right away. He had some struggles towards the end of the year in the rotation. He ended up getting back in the bullpen where he looked really, really good. But I think he's probably more valuable, and there's more of a need for them to have him in the rotation. So I do expect him to get a shot there and be a guy. He can be electric. He's got kind of this like almost like a Justin Masterson type arm angle, blast from the past there. Ball not sinking like Masterson's did. It's kind of has the ride that you want, that a lot of people want right now. He's there. Chris Paddock is the wild card for me. They love this guy in Minnesota. Like the coaching staff in the front office think he's going to be like a comeback player of the year type guy. He's got the changeup. He's got some velocity. He's a big dude. Didn't know how big he was until I got up next to him. I don't know if that matters to anybody. I'm just saying that. He needs to come back. He's not going to give 150-plus innings, I don't think. So, like, there are some innings that need to be eaten up by somebody. The depth in AAA and, like, the upper-level minor leagues, not that great. It's not that great. So this is one area where if you have question marks about the Twins, I'm fully okay with you questioning it because they do need to acquire some depth. Descofani can be – look, he's been really good. He was really good for the Giants that one year when they won 107 games. He's a five starter. They need something different. I want them to go out and trade for somebody. I want them to go out and trade for Cease. I don't know if they're going to do that. I know they're probably not going to spend any more money. That's a point of contention with Twins fans right now. But via trade, I think we'd see them go after some pitching via trade because once we get into kind of the lineup and the position players, there are some expendable pieces.
Joe Ryan is of interest to me. I've never seen a guy come in one year. He's got the fastball, slider, curve. And then last year completely changed his secondary pitches to sweeper and splitter. And that's a little crazy to me to just take up a splitter. Like they say, it takes years to learn changeups. Maybe he's been practicing it out of games. And the secondary pitches got rocked the second half of the season. Like the splitter got rocked. So does he change him again this year? I'm sure there's news of it. Or like what's he match with that fastball now?
We'll see. I know a lot of guys in the game now, that's what they're calling the new sweeper is the splitter. They're bringing the splitter back, which, you know, this all these analytics and the data, doesn't it all come back to just what we were already doing in the past? Like now there is situational hitting. Oh, the splitter is back. Oh, the sinker is playing now. We were already doing all of this stuff. That's for a different episode.
Yeah. Now, 2015 to 2018, kind of all that three true outcome shit took off. And they just abandon everything else. But that's for another time.
That's for another time. So yeah, like the rotation, I think there are some question marks. I think it could, honestly, it could be very, very good as well. I think there's more of a chance that it's above average than it's below average. That's the eye test, and that's, you know, me maybe a little bit biased.
It's, I think the question topic around this team is how much are guys that were safe plays to contribute. Sonny Gray was going to contribute. He's not going to be second in the Cy Young every year. He was last year for this Twins team that won 87 games. And that has a ripple effect through the rotation and the bullpen, which you're right, Trev. At some point last year, the bullpen, you know, took off and became an elite bullpen depth, and the high-end guys, Duran is obviously special. How does the whole pitching staff feel, Sonny Gray being gone? And, you know, obviously, like, Joe Ryan graded out well last year, but the stats didn't, and it was a really tough second half, those final 14 starts. That let's, like Jimmy was saying, let's see some pitch mix. You know, does he take a step as a young pitcher developing that he becomes kind of the elite guy he can be? Or is he still struggling and working on stuff? I think they're going to feel that. And then what I've now called the Eddie Rosario effect, because Eddie Rosario and those Twins teams, Bomba Squad and all their, you know, those teams that made the playoffs, you know, Eddie wasn't beloved because his on-base wasn't great and the OPS wasn't crazy. But he was in the middle of that lineup because he was a damn problem. Jorge Polanco has sneaky been that guy in a lot of Twin seasons recently. Switch hitting, they moved him around a lot. He had some massive years. He had some good years. He's gone now. And I know you're talking about the next step with Eddie Julian and Royce Lewis. Royce Lewis could be one of the best players in baseball. We need to see him healthy. We need to see him out there and do it, that I wonder if, let's say, the injury bug kicks in when Buxton, you know, at some point, I love Buck Daddy as much as anyone. When he's playing, it's awesome to watch. But if that happens, and then you're missing Polanco, and then if a young guy's struggling, what does that feel like? And has any of the division caught up?
They have plenty of position player depth. I'm not worried about that at all. If you go look back, you're talking about Eddie Rosario. Go look at what Wallner's done. You know, I know these guys are young guys, but they do believe in them enough where they, especially Julian, and then they traded the Rise because they need pitching and because Julian's on the way. They traded Polanco because there was nowhere for him to play because Royce Lewis and Julian were there at the two positions that he can play. And they really do believe in these guys. They also cost a lot less money. I watched this team a lot last year. People don't know. I was a broadcaster for the Minnesota Twins, and I will be again next year.
Hey! You know,
that's officially out there. That's huge. Julian's the real deal. I have a comparison for him that's so unfair to him and that people are going to hate. But demeanor and kind of like a little bit of skill set and kind of like a little bit of defensive, like, well, we're not really sure where this guy can play. It's Paul Molitor. Mm. The guy can hit, dude. It's like one of those things where, like, if he doesn't swing at a pitch, and he gets rung up, it's probably not a strike. Like, he has elite plate discipline and understanding of the strike zone, which I really, really like in a young hitter. And to me, that's probably the biggest thing that tells me that you're going to be successful at the big league level. He's hit every single place he's ever been, from college to the minor leagues to now last year, put up an 840 OPS in his first year. Like, this guy is going to be very good. They got to find a position for him. He's working hard at second base. I don't think he's long for that position either, because they got this guy Brooks Lee coming up, who, like, they can't say enough about this kid. So the position player depth is there. Kirilloff, a guy who has been okay, his numbers, first couple years. I think last year took a little step forward. Another guy who, like, doesn't get – he's always balanced at the plate. You guys know I like when I see a hitter like that. Not a lot of bad swings out of him. I think he can be – and uses the opposite field very well for a left-handed hitter. I think he can be, like, an upper echelon hitter in the big leagues. I really, really do. So, like, if Buxton ends up, what, not playing center field, I do believe they're going to go out and get Michael A. Taylor. Seems like the easiest fit for them. If he can't play center field and he has to DH, like, they're going to have to figure out some things. That's why I think there's a trade incoming. They have too many position players that have the ability to be everyday players in the big leagues. Like, there's going to be guys on the bench that should be playing every day.
I'm very worried about the rotation. Just to let you know, I've really started thinking about it. They got rid of those guys, like you're saying, and they, because they had replacements in the wings there. Paddock and Disco aren't replacements for Sonny and Maeda.
No.
That's, I mean, nuts. Look,
Sonny was really, really good last year. And sometimes watching him, you're like, it was an interesting watch for Sonny last year because he'd be dominant, like five innings. You'd be like, this guy, no one's going to touch this guy. And then he'd just lose it out of nowhere.
Listen to this butter knife I did. It's not even really a butter knife. I took away Maeda's three innings pitch, 10 earned run games. It's a crazy outlier. And then you got 51 starts, 285 innings from Sonny and Kenta Maeda last year for the Twins, 3.03 ERA. They were second in starting pitcher WAR last year. That got them 87 wins in the division. They're not replacing those numbers at all. I don't even think they're close to replacing these two guys in the starting pitching staff. And then you need Joe Ryan to, like, be first half all year, bump up, Bailey Ober to repeat. I don't know. That's crazy to me. I came into this high on the Twins, and now I'm less high.
You can say, and I said, it's okay to question the starting pitching. I'm fine with you doing that. I think that especially if you don't watch this team every day and you just look at the names, which happens a lot, it's fine. I could 100% see that. You can butter knife some stats. I can 100% see that. I think they have enough all around that rotation, and the bullpen has like long guys, and I think that's kind of the game they're going to play.
Is I like
the
that.
Dodgers type stretched of baseball out that they're going to play.
Okay.
So
that helps.
And I do think free agency, no, but I do think there are trades incoming, and it's very hard to acquire starting pitching via trades. I mean, well, I guess the Orioles did it pretty easily, didn't they? Maybe that's the route they're going to take. I think the plan here is, and I didn't talk to Falvey and Levine about this, but I think the plan is, let's see how this goes. They're high on Paddock. They like his stuff. They like the data. They want to see what he can do. They're still high on those other three guys that you mentioned, Lopez, obviously, Ryan and Ober. I think Varland can be a very, very nice four starter in the big leagues. If it doesn't work out and we're seeing some regression or just seeing the numbers just aren't where they need to be, I think they have enough to go out and make a trade for starting pitching. I wish they would have done it already, but they haven't. So I'm okay with you guys questioning the starting pitching.
Trev, something I always say, whether it's, I guess I'm going to call this real life or fantasy baseball, football, whatever you play, like making a fair deal. I like doing, you know, the other team needs something. I'm not a get fleeced guy. Like, you need this, I have this. I have this, you get this. That's a good trade. Twins and Marlins. Luis Arraez, Pablo Lopez, everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Run it back. Go get Lizardo. You got to flip a couple of these young pieces that you might like for the lineup, but I am with Jim a little bit. The rotation's scarier. What Sonny Gray did last year, that's an impressive season. And I guess the other thing for me is the Guardians gave up on their season. The Tigers think something's coming, but we've thought that before with the Tigers. The Royals shouldn't be 56 wins. I guess I'm just... This would have been an awesome offseason for the Twins to step on the gas and be like, yes, we've got something here, and they didn't. And that's just a nervous feeling. Because what if the young guys for the Tigers click? Or what if the Guardians, saving their pitchers' innings last year, like, you know, the Twins have lived in like an unprotected castle a little bit, and they've been safe. And I just, are any of these other teams going to get the army to actually like come at it?
I don't think anyone's lived in an unprotected castle in the AL Central as of late. They just haven't. I mean, it's not a great division, but I don't think there's been, like James was just talking about, you know, the clear cut favorites rarely ever win this division over the last couple
of
years.
We've had some blunders of first play of like, and I was like, maybe they think it's too comfy. And maybe that's what Jake's saying. They thought it was too comfy this offseason.
You are speaking like a Twins fan, so congratulations. Hell yeah. They're not happy a lot because they reduced payroll a ton. And they cited the TV deal not being certain. Well, we got a one-year deal going. You're getting most of your money from the TV deal, but we haven't seen them bring the payroll back up to what it was last year or even close. They shaved a lot of money off. So Twins fans see what we have, see the position player depth, see the bullpen that we have. They wanted more. They wanted to go out and, you know, get guys. If you look at who they added this year, I mean, look, Carlos Santana, Staumont, you know, they traded for Topo, which is really nice. I mean, we haven't even really gotten into their bullpen, which I think is probably the best. I think it's probably the best bullpen in the big leagues. At least has an argument for it. But those additions aren't where you want them to be if you have a team that you think is ready to take the next level. You just won a playoff series for the first time in how many years? Like, you got this goodwill with your fan base. People are excited about Twins baseball. I think you're right. This was the offseason for them to go out and make a splash. You could say, hey, they just made a splash when they brought in Carlos Correa. That's very un-Twins-like to go land a guy like Carlos Correa.
You're right.
But
I'm out on
that. But I think they could have went out and done more. My hope is that they are going to do it during the season.
Okay.
I
came in high. What's their over-under going to be?
Their over-under brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook. Make sure you guys download the app and use code TALKIN because you can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000. So think about this. You place the bet. This is a lock. I got it. Hey, if you hit it, awesome. There you go. You just won that bet. If you don't, the lock fell through. You get a bonus bet of that same amount up to $1,000. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TALK and get a no-sweat bet. It's promo code TALK and only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Where's the over-under at?
I don't want to say it.
Say it, baby.
I don't want to
say
it.
Say baby.
Last year, they won 87 games.
Yes.
87 and 75. Coasted into the playoffs. It was like one tiny moment where they were playing a bunch of games against the Guardians. If the Guardians swept them, there was going to be something. It didn't happen. I think they won the division by how many games? 10 or something. Over under this year, 86.5.
Mm-hmm.
They took a half game from last year's total. James, you cited Sonny Gray being gone as a huge, huge blow to this team.
I think that's the obvious one. Yeah, but I think Maeda having that one blunder start, people aren't realizing he also like gave them so many good innings.
He was okay with them. He was like a 4 or 5 inning guy. And Joe Ryan at the end of the year really had some bad starts that skewed his numbers a little bit. He had a bad like last 6 or 7 starts. So you could do a lot of those things. But 86.5 I think is a really, really good number. And I'm having a tough time with this one, to be honest with you. So I don't want to go first.
It's it's becomes the division. The Guardians front office, everyone knows my struggles with them. I've bought a little bit of Tiger stock, but that's always a scary place to be.
Maeda averaged 5 innings. I'm Kenta Maeda stan.
Always have been.
Tiger now.
Now he's in.
I'm mad at him because he just didn't know who the fuck I was.
Yeah.
No, I'm taking the under. I think they got worse.
It's a good line, I'll say that. Because there's also another argument, like if they had to keep up with a team in the Central, maybe they could push it to 88 wins, too.
They got more hopeful in certain areas, and that's very exciting. But I don't like the rotation and changes at all. Or, it turns out, the vibes in Minnesota land, according to Trev's report on the vibes. The fans are upset.
In the clubhouse are immaculate. They have a very good clubhouse.
I'm talking about the Twins Nation. Yeah, I thought Twins Nation was like, we're going to win this division. Everyone else stinks. Turns out Twins Nation is like, we should win the division. Everyone else stinks. Why aren't you guys doing anything? So I am Twins Nation.
That's the sentiment in Twins Nation right now. It's Twins territory.
I'll back all the Twins fans and take the under.
Can you say Twins territory?
Twins territory.
Thank you.
That's like such a mouthful.
No, it's just call rolls it off the tongue.
Just call it Twinsville. Twinsville. Twinsville sounds way cool.
Twins territory because they service South Dakota, North Dakota, Iowa, Minnesota, and all of Canada as well.
I think the Blue Jays. Okay.
You take a chunk of Canada.
There's a little Canada in Minnesota. You didn't know that?
It's a good line. I'll go over. I'll go over. But like, it's 87 again. I believe in Julian and Lewis. And I think this lineup, and I've been a lineup guy, compared to the rest of the division, is still in a different level. Like the fact that Kirilov's looked at like a potential 9-hole option. It's at a certain point, they're going to need more pitching, and that's going to be an interesting touch to the season. But also their bullpen being a strength, like I agree with you, Trev. A lot of those guys are really good, and Duran, can go toe-to-toe with anyone at the end. So can Class A. Like, that Guardians bullpen is good. I kind of like what Detroit did with their bullpen, so I don't know. It's me banking on the Twins lineup, which actually finished, like, 7th in OPS. Some of the other numbers, not as pretty, but they've got options in there. And I'll believe in Royce Lewis being a guy, because it was pretty. So I'll go with the young lineup, 87 on the nose.
I'm going to take the over because I have to be optimistic about this team. And I do believe that they will win the division. And I do believe that the Guardians are going to end up selling off some pieces. The Tigers, I got to see it. I think the Tigers will be kind of the, what's that called? The stalking horse?
Stalking horse.
Yes. I think the Tigers will push the Twins a little bit this year, which will make them make a move. My over call is predicated on them making a move during the season. And I will be calling for that. I'm not just strictly a company man for the Twins. I will be pushing this front office.
He is Twinsville.
Twins territory.
This is Twins town.
What is Yankees called? Yankees Universe? How stupid is that?
No one really says that, but I think that...
Well, that's what it is.
Didn't Theo Epstein...
Technically, that is like what it would be.
Yeah, I think Theo did it.
That's way worse than Twins territory. So
I agree.
I've never heard it like really said out loud.
No Yankees fan is going to be like, it's called Yankees Universe. Get it right. Because I don't think we actually say that. It is bad. I agree with you.
I've got one little...
Twins Town would be fucking awesome.
You guys never asked... You didn't ask me any questions.
Let's call them the Twin Cities. I've got a fun thing that has just been a rule of baseball over the years. Twins... Sneaky were bad in one-run games last year, 19-27. And that's a stat that year by year, the nerds have no grasp on it. I think it comes and goes a little bit. In theory, if you have a good bullpen and a little bit of a lineup, that's something that should dictate it. And they were bad in one-run games last year. If that flips, they're like a 90-win team. So that's what I'll anchor in on.
Okay. I'm on the over. I think this is going to be one of the better lineups in baseball this year. Okay. I do. I think the depth of this lineup is very, very good, and it matches up with a lot of teams. Obviously, there's some really top-notch teams out there that can really bang the ball around. I think the Twins are going to, at some point, find themselves in that conversation and to the fifth best lineup in baseball.
Heard it here first. Thanks for joining. We got more coming. Subscribe.
Hit this lineup for the Yankees.
Edward Cabrera for Austin Martin and Alex Kirilov.
Done. I love you, Kirilov. My guy. Okay.
I love Miami.
Hope I did you guys proud.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.